All right, here we go. Let's get into the Word of God now. So we started this series called Faith Works a few weeks back. Today is week number 5. We've made the kind of the play on words in the title. We've named it Faith Works because faith does work. Faith does produce things for us. But on the flip side of that, faith works in the sense that faith needs to be exercised. Faith is an action. It is a verb, if you will. And so faith works in those two different realms. We've defined faith by looking into it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance of what we're hoping for. It means that it is the foundational, concrete assurance that what you're hoping for will actually happen. And we've made the point, if you want things to happen in your life and you want to exercise faith, you need to have faith and hope in the word and the wills and the ways of God. You need to get your desires lined up with God's desires so that you have the best chance of seeing the unseen become seen, which is our next point. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It is that sense of conviction, again, that sense of assurance, if you will, that the unseen will become the seen and that you will then be able to enjoy it by the grace of God. Faith is the substance of things that we're hoping for, and it's also the evidence of things that we haven't yet seen, but we believe that we will see these things. Now, today, I want to talk to you more about Abraham and Sarah. Last week, we talked about their imperfect journey, how Abraham and Sarah didn't always get it right. We wanted to make the point that in our faith journey or in our faith pilgrimage, you'll hear me use the word pilgrimage today, that we're going to make mistakes, and there's going to be setbacks, and there's going to be times where we don't always get it right. But by the grace of God, our mistakes don't totally abort God's purposes for our life. We can get back up and start doing right again, and destiny is still to be secured and to be had and experienced. So we looked at some of their mistakes last week. This week we're going to look at their successes, those things in Abraham and Sarah that we should imitate. Now, I want to remind you, the scripture says very clearly that we are to imitate those who through faith and by their patience, they inherited the promises of God. And so the scripture, the hall of faith in particular, Hebrews 11, was written for us so that we can see what it's like to live by faith and then imitate those same very principles so we can experience the same results. And before we get into Hebrews 11, I wanted to share just one verse of one particular psalm, one of my favorite psalms, and indeed one of my favorite verses. I want to share this up front because it bespeaks, it epitomizes Abraham's life. All in one little verse, it just says so much. Psalm 84, verse 5, David writes and said, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, O God." Now look at this. "Whose heart is set on pilgrimage." Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who realizes that God is their strength and who has made a decision in their own heart to be on constant, ongoing pilgrimage. Spiritual experience, continuing day in and day out and year in and year out. We had the tremendous honor last service. Papa Don Finto was here in the house, and I had him get up and share just a brief word. At 87 years of old, 8 years of age, with a brand new hip, he got up here on fire, not knowing what I was going to preach about, just encouraging everybody. Go after everything God has for you. I'm not quitting. You don't quit. Get after it. There's always room for growth. I mean, he lit people up just exactly about what I was about to preach on. It was perfect. This is the issue. Friends, faith journeys, When we set our heart on a faith journey, on a pilgrimage, this is where blessing comes from. Again, pilgrimage, that moving from one spiritual experience to the other and never tiring, listen to this, never tiring of having God stretch you, never tiring of having to believe God for something else again one more time. I mean, just listen, transparently, I have for over three decades now lived a life of faith. And as much as I applaud and appreciate that faith works, I get it, I've seen it, we're sitting in it, like I get it. There's times in my life when I'm feeling more beat down and tired and not taking care of myself and working too hard, all those things, sleeplessness, all that stuff. There gets to be times in my life where I just want to say to God, I don't want to believe for anything else right now. Like I want a faith vacation. I just want to be able to exist and not have to trust. Right? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? To not have to be stretched. Like I just, again, faith vacation would be great. Blessed is the man who knows that his strength, blessed is the woman who knows that her strength is in God, and who has decided to set their hearts, their will, and their mind on spiritual pilgrimage, to never get tired of being stretched, challenged, never get tired of believing for more, not becoming apathetic, set and settled, but pressing on and into everything that God has. These are things that we need to imitate. So we're gonna start with a question today. What made Abraham and Sarah's faith journey so exemplary? I've read through Hebrews 11, this big chunk of verses that we'll unpack, and just looked at it and said, what are these key faith principles that made their life just so successful and so incredibly awesome? Well, point number one, here you go. Are you ready for your note takers? They didn't let comfort keep them. Here's what I mean by that. They didn't let comfort keep them back from what God wanted them to do. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, which is our first verse, we're just picking up where we left off. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham and Sarah, they didn't let comfort keep them back from what God had for them. You have to remember, and I told you last week, Genesis chapter 13, verse 2 said, not that they were rich, but that they were very rich. They were very rich in livestock, silver, and gold, and they had hundreds of servants slash employees who worked for them. They were extremely rich. And so when God came to him and said, hey, I'm gonna send you out into a land that I'm not gonna tell you about, you just leave and start moving, that's a huge request. But Abraham and Sarah, they didn't let their comfort, their wealth, their security, everything they had, they didn't let it keep them from what God was pressing them into. They didn't need all the answers before they would set out on pilgrimage. Okay, God, we're gonna go, but you tell us exactly where we're going, how long it's gonna take, what route we're gonna take, is there gonna be any obstacles, are there gonna be any robbers on the way? They didn't need to know all the answers. Faith doesn't. I'm all for being responsible. I'm all for counting the cost, as Jesus said. But at the end of the day, every one of us who are on a faith pilgrimage are going to have to get this fact settled. God's not going to give you all of the answers up front, because if he did, it wouldn't be faith. It would be fact. And he's calling us to live by faith. I love the fact they weren't so rooted and held by what was known that they wouldn't venture out into the unknown. They didn't let their present blessing keep them from God's inheritance. Now, I want to make a distinction here. There is no question that God had blessed their life. There's no question about it. They had more than they could have ever imagined. But they didn't let the blessing keep them from the much bigger inheritance. They understood, as much as God had blessed them, that there was more for them. Now, friends, this is where this starts getting personal for all of us in some way. Because we live in an atmosphere, in a community, we live in a place where God's done incredible things in most of our lives. Some of us, we're still waiting for that to happen. Today would be a great day to start. God's done incredible things. We live in an incredible place. And if we're not careful, we can allow our comfort to keep us from what God has for us. We can just kind of settle in and I got mine, and so now, you know, I'm all happy for you to get yours, but I got mine, and now I'm just kind of shutting down. Abraham and Sarah, they weren't like that. They didn't let comfort keep them. I love the things that describe the life of Abraham. It's been said that there are two objects that describe Abraham's life. A tent and an altar. Abraham is a wanderer, tent, and a worshiper, altar. Abraham is a priest, altar, and he is a pilgrim. He's again a wanderer. It's this idea that he is about staying disconnected enough with what's around him so that he can move and do what God has called him to. They don't let comfort keep them from what God has for them. I love that, the visual part of that. Altars and tents, priests and pilgrims, worshipers and wanderers. May that define more of us in the time to come. So Abraham didn't let comfort keep him from God's inheritance, which was much bigger than what God's blessing was on his life. Number two, what else should we imitate about Abraham and Sarah? They didn't let promise paralyze them. Now, this is almost like comfort, but it's a bit different. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 and 10, our next verses. By faith, he, Abraham, dwelt in the land of promise. Now look at this. As in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, of course his sons, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham didn't let the promise of God paralyze him. He didn't let his fulfilled earthly promise, as nice as it was, become his eternal focus. It says that Abe's promised land, as awesome as it was in an earthly sense, that Abe's promised land, according to Abraham and his perspective and how he looked at it, it was still just foreign territory. It was still just a foreign country. For Abraham, as great as the blessing and as great as the promised land was, it still wasn't home. It still wasn't home. Therefore, he didn't allow the promise of God to paralyze him. He still was moving in tents. He still was traveling. He was still looking for everything that God had for him. He knew there was more. Now, I need to put this next one up on the screen because it was a bit of a play again on words, and let's just see if you can get it faster than first service did. Now, the other half of you will get that on the way home at some point. Here's the fact, friends. It says that Abraham dwelt in tents, moving constantly. Abe's present tense kept him from living in the past tense. He wasn't just going to live from before. He wasn't going to live in Ur of the Chaldees. He wasn't going to live in Haran. He wasn't just going to live in one place inside the promised land. He was moving presently, always seeking, searching, being stretched, believing, having God speak to him and lead him into other great faith adventures. Abraham, listen to this, friends, is living in a journey and not a memory. I wonder how many of us, because comfort has kept us and because promise has paralyzed us, we now find ourselves living in a memory instead of forging forward in a journey. This is so radically important. Now listen, comfort and promise both. There's another name for that. It's called the American dream. Comfort and promise both. They can keep you and paralyze you from God's inheritance for you. And so you can't get settled and miss out on pilgrimage, growth, and adventure. Don't settle in and settle for what's been done, a memory. Move into what God has for you in the future. Now, although I've observed this for years, I really first started noticing this in my 40s, but now in my 50s, and you know, been able to pastor a lot of people over the years, so I've got some experience with what I'm about to say. I started noticing in my 40s that people who were in their 40s, in their 50s, in their 60s, who had been in church for years and kind of grown up, been there, done that, I started noticing the same thing. Too many of them are on autopilot. I love you, but I'm just telling you. When's the last time you took a faith journey? When's the last time you launched out into the deep? Too many people are living in a memory of yesterday and what it was like in the 70s or what it was like in the 80s or what it was like. Like, I want to ask you, what are you doing now? Where is your faith journey now? Where are you being stretched now? Where are you having to believe God for greater things in the future now? Because there's something between comfort that keeps us and promises that paralyze us that, again, get us to that point where we've just kind of arrived and here we are. And, again, you get yours, I got mine, but I'm just going to kind of check out from here on out. I want to lovingly just get up in your grill and grab you by your cheeks and just look at you and say, hey, this is not time to retire. This is time to refire. 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds, the body of Christ needs you. Don't let comfort keep you and past promises paralyze you. Wake up. You're needed around here. If God has put breath in your lungs, he's put purpose in your heart. Now get a hold of it. Find out what your destiny is and don't let comfort keep you. And don't let promise paralyze you. Get up and move. Do something for the glory of God. Take a risk. Launch out. Ask him what he has to say and do it. Get on with it. Pick your tent up and go. Take a journey. Set your heart on pilgrimage. What else was so great that we need to imitate about Abraham and Sarah? Number three, they didn't let delay defeat them. Hebrews 11:11 and following. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. Anybody remember how old Sarah was when she had a baby? She was 90 years old. That's called delay. Scripture says she was past the age. But because she judged God faithful, who had promised, she still conceived the miraculous and gave birth to the promise. Look at this. Therefore, from one man, now we're talking about Abraham, and him as good as dead. Like, if you all think the Bible's not real, like, look at that. I love this. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Maybe Paul, maybe Silas or somebody else. Who knows? But I'm just thinking, we know ultimately the scripture says that the Holy Spirit breathed on the prophets and the disciples and that they wrote, you know, what the script. We know the Holy Spirit wrote this, but I can't help but just think about whoever wrote this, he's writing it, and Sarah was past the age and through this one man, and he was as good as dead. Are you sure that's what I'm supposed to write right here? Yep, that just sounds like he was 100. That's called delay. This one, he was as good as dead, and yet was born as many, look at this, as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, and they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Abraham and Sarah, they didn't let delay defeat them. Again, Sarah's past the age, Abe's as good as dead, but they judged him faithful. They judged him faithful. They said, hey, God said this, and we kind of got over our laughing fit, and now we're really believing God, that in his sovereign time, listen to me, not in our microwave instant time, but in God's sovereign time, this promise that he promised us, descendants like the stars in the sky, descendants like the sands of the seashore, it's going to be ours. God is going to do that according to his own timing. They didn't let delay defeat them. Now it says next that they died in faith before seeing the promise fully realized. They had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and they were around for that. But they died before they saw their descendants, like multitudes of descendants. But they died believing. They died trusting. Now look at what it says this, how it describes them. They saw the promise afar off. Have you ever seen something afar off, a promise of God? He speaks it to you. It's as close to you as your very breath, but you can see that it's somewhere down the road. I can see the promise afar off, and because I've heard it and can see it, now all of a sudden, what does it say that they did next? They were assured of the promise. This is going to happen. Next, they embraced the promise. They held it as their own, as if it was close, while it was still down the road. And I wonder how many things God has promised you that you see and it's down the road, and yet it's not so far away that you can't be assured of it and you can't embrace it. Is there anything that you see down the road through the eyes of faith that you're holding on to right now, waiting for the full release of it and full realization of it? Do you see that? What is it? So they saw it. They were assured. They embraced, and then it says this interesting thing. As much as they were sought and were assured and embraced, the next thing that it says is, and yet they considered themselves strangers and pilgrims here on this earth. What are they saying? What they're saying is this: whether we see this come to pass on this side of the veil or not, doesn't matter. We're going to see it. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim here. This isn't my homeland. We're just passing through. Now, God's given me a promise, and I can see it afar off. I'm assured of it. I'm embracing it. But I'm also confessing, hey, I'm a stranger and a pilgrim here. It might not happen right here, right now. Abraham and Sarah didn't see all of it. They saw some of it. Now, where does this get, like, so profoundly personal? I tried to think of the most personal way as that I've experienced as a pastor. It's usually in these areas of healing where we could see it. We could see the promise. It's there in the Word. We can see it. We're assured of it. Okay, yeah. And I'm embracing it. Yes, I'm trusting and claiming. I believe God's going to heal this person. And it's what God says, and He promises these types of things. And so, yeah, okay, I'm going to believe for that. And then the person slips into eternity. Was God not faithful? Did we hear wrong? Did God lie to us? No. So, Steve, how does that work? Well, I just ask you, when that person went into heaven, were they healed? You better believe they're healed. Yeah, forever. Not just for a little while on earth till they get the next round of flu. And so sometimes, friends, that's what this looks like, and that's how we balance this life of faith out. You can see things from afar. I can be assured of Him. I can embrace Him and hold on to Him and pray and believe and confess and all of that. But what I've come to understand in my life, if God doesn't do it on this side of the veil, I'm going to see Him do it from the other side of the veil. And what happens in this world, it does not have the final word over me or my faith. It just doesn't. And so I would much rather die in faith than die in doubt. I would much rather trust God's sovereignty and His plan. And I realize this, if I'm waiting for a promise that doesn't come to pass, it comes to pass after I'm gone. God has the ability to speak through my life, even though I have died like Abel did. Him being dead still speaketh. Sometimes, friends, the promise outlives the pilgrim. Get that. The promise outlives the pilgrim. And so they didn't let delay defeat them. Friends, God's eternal promises, they may indeed outlive your earthly pilgrimage, but the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in Him, amen. Do not let delay defeat you. God is faithful. Number four, Abraham and Sarah, they didn't let the past persuade them. Our next verse, verse 15. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. They didn't let the past persuade them. They didn't look out over all of their blessings before they even started while they were still in Ur of the Chaldees. They didn't look out over all their blessings and get kept and paralyzed by it. They didn't look down at delay and get defeated by it. They didn't look back at their past and get persuaded by it. As they were on their faith pilgrimage, as they're on their faith journey, they're not looking back. They're not thinking, oh man, it would have been so much better if we would have stayed in Haran or stayed in Ur of the Chaldees. We wouldn't have to keep moving all the time. We could set up shop. We could get rid of tents and build castles. If they would have allowed it into their mind, there was the potential that they could have been persuaded to go back and to look back. You know what's amazing about looking back? Isn't it? We learned this from the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Isn't it amazing what we remember about yesterday? They're in harsh bondage for 400 years. They start their faith journey. They get backed up against the Red Sea and they start going, oh my gosh, Egypt was so incredibly awesome. We had onions and leeks and we ate 3 square meals a day. Yeah, in prison. Don't make so much of your past that you miss your future. How many times we're looking back with a romanticized version of how good it was. Oh, I came down to the altar and I said yes to Jesus and it was awesome and I was crying and I felt great for about 15 minutes and then all hell's been, you know, let loose against me and I've been in this spiritual battle ever since. I just think sometimes I'm ready just to quit and go back to my old ways. It was so much easier. It was all, oh, really? Yeah, it was way easier. Well, tell me how easy it was. Because the scripture tells me the way of the transgressor's heart. Tell me how easy it was. Well, I had a needle in my arm all the time. Oh, that was easy? Well, no. I had hopelessness in my heart. Well, was that easy? No. You were a mess and you were depressed and you were lost and lonely. You didn't know what to do next. Really? That was easy? That was great? You want to go back to that? Well, no, I just want it to be easier now. That's where faith comes in, friends. Faith, trusting God, is what allows us to move forward and to not be persuaded by our past with an unreal version of what our past even was. If they would have called to mind the place that they came out of, they could have had every opportunity to go back. Abraham and Sarah didn't even let their past enter their mind. So they weren't looking out and over their stuff. They weren't looking down at insurmountable odds and defeat. They weren't looking back, for sure. They were looking up to the God who could keep them and bless them and lead them into their inheritance and their destiny. Our fifth and final point that really is the anchor of all of these things. Besides faith, in other words, faith in what? Besides faith, what was it that caused comfort to not be able to keep them? What was it that caused the promise not to paralyze them and the delay to not defeat them? What was it that didn't allow their past to persuade him? I'll tell you what it is right here, without question. It was the fact that heaven had them. Heaven had them. Hebrews 11:16 says it like this. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Friends, without question, their desire, their focus, their pilgrimage, it was heavenward. This world had very little for Abraham and Sarah. Although they were very rich in this world, they realized this world had very little for them. I find it fascinating in the story already just back starting in Genesis chapter 12. I mean, the very beginning kind of the story of the human family. There isn't a bunch of talk about heaven. There's not a bunch written about the hope of heaven, the reality of heaven, how awesome it's going to be. And yet Abraham seems to have a spiritual understanding that heaven is real. And that he wants heaven more than anything else. Solomon said it in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11, like this, that God has put eternity into the hearts of every single person. And so Abraham wandered as a worshiper. He went to pick his tents up as a priest and a pilgrim. He's moving forward. Because he's motivated and looking toward heaven. This world's not my home. This world doesn't have the answers for me. I'm pressing on and I'm pressing upward. Doesn't know anything about heaven, and yet he knows about heaven. It shows you the power of the Spirit to captivate our hearts over heaven. Remember, verse 10, talking about Abraham and Sarah, listen to the heartbeat of this, that they waited patiently. It means that they waited steadily. They waited patiently and steadily for a city that had foundations. Listen to this language. For a city that had foundations. For a city that was worth anchoring yourself to permanently. The promised land, yeah, it's good and fine, but I'm only pitching a tent. I'm gonna be able to pull back up and move somewhere else in my faith journey with God, because what I'm actually looking for is a city that has foundations. That's worth me anchoring into and saying, I am immovable right here. Now I'm home. He waited patiently and steadily for a city that had foundations, whose builder, whose craftsman, whose maker, artisan, is God himself. He's going, you know what? Earth isn't horrible. The blessing isn't bad. The promise, the inheritance, none of this is awful. But if this is what a fallen world can produce, what might our builder and maker, whose name is God, have prepared for us? And already, Abraham is saying, I'm going after that. I'm going after that. I'm waiting, longing, looking, moving, adventuring, pressing onward and upward. Verse 13 and 14, again, it said that he confessed that he was a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth because he was seeking what? A true homeland. He was looking for that place where God himself dwells. He wanted that above all this. And then we just read in verse 16, that he desired a better, a heavenly country. He desired, listen to this. Abraham desiring it means he was stretched out for it. He reached out for it. He coveted a heavenly country. I want you to see that everything Abraham went through because he was heavenly minded. He went through because he saw this world is not my home. It doesn't have the final answer to me. I'm going to pilgrim and journey. I'm going to worship and wander. I'm going to priest and pilgrim while I'm here. But my eyes are heavenward. I'm going after the prize, and his name's Jesus. Therefore, it ends by saying, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Therefore, because of how they lived, because they wouldn't let comfort keep them, what was number two? Because they wouldn't let promise paralyze them. Number three, they wouldn't let delay defeat them. Number four, they wouldn't let the past persuade them. Therefore, God said, I'm not afraid to be called. I'm not ashamed to be called your God. It means the opposite of that is actually true. It means that God is saying, those are my kids. Yes, they get it. These are my kids. They realize this world isn't their home. They're going through it and they're making a difference the whole time. They've got their eyes and heart on heaven. They're living a hard-pressed life. Paul said, I've got a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but I got to stick around here and bear some more fruit for the kingdom. It's time to start living a hard-pressed, faith-filled life. It's possible. It's necessary. Therefore, God's not ashamed to be called their God, because he has indeed provided, created, and built a city for us. C.S. Lewis encapsulates the life of Abraham, I think, very well. He said, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." Abraham went through his life. He had it made by worldly standards, and yet he wasn't satisfied. He knew that he was made for another world, and so he held this world loosely. He didn't anchor or attach or drill down into this world so intensely. He wasn't so fortified here that he wasn't able to blow with the wind of God and go where God had called him. Friends, like Abraham, we were made for another world. Let's live for it now. Like Abraham and Sarah did, set your heart on pilgrimage, Psalm 84:5. Don't let comfort keep you. Don't let promise paralyze you. Don't let delay defeat you. Don't let the past persuade you. And make sure heaven has you. If we can imitate these things, friends, there will be a faith explosion in our life, and we'll start living at a level we never have before. I'm all for that. I'm a 53-year-old man who is unsatisfied with what God has done with me so far, and I'm looking forward to the future. I don't care where it is or what I'm doing. I'm not retiring. I'm refiring in the name of Jesus, and I'm looking for some people to do it with me. Can I get an amen? Let's stand and pray together. Friends, every time at this moment in the sermon, we have a choice to make. Are we only going to hear? Are we only going to agree? Are we only going to clap? Or are we going to make a decision right now to do and to be? Don't confuse understanding or approving with doing. Don't be just a hearer of the word, deceiving yourselves, but be a doer of the word. Understanding that, we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for the Hall of Faith. We want to thank you for these beautifully flawed people who lived by faith and left a legacy. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what Abraham and Sarah say to us this week. Lord, may we imitate their life of faith, and may it again, as I've said so many times today, send us on a new journey and pilgrimage of faith that we've never known before. God, give us grace to pick up our tent pegs, maybe even knock over our palaces, and move with you. Move with destiny. Move with purpose. God, from this moment forward, may it be said, we heard God's voice and we started moving like never before. In Jesus' name, amen, somebody. Amen. Let's go. There's work to do. God bless you guys. Keep us in your prayers this week. We'd appreciate it. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless you guys.